that vibe of you guys, it's almost harder to lean on them because you don't know if they're going to be able to there support you. And it makes it almost just more of a weird, uncomfortable, like, I gotta keep talking, but I have nothing to say. So being able to have someone to lean on and someone to have that, there to support you just builds so much confidence to the point that you don't even need them anymore. Right. So it's really, I think it's really important. And for the flow of the show, for the spectators too. Like if we were all like trying to talk with each other. Oh no, sorry, you go. Oh no, 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 you go. No, sorry, you go. it'd just be the worst broadcast ever. So the fact that we all know when, okay, I really want to say something right now, but there's a better moment going on. I'm just going to step back. You let your co-casters do that because you know that's good for the show. So the fact that we all have that in mind, that we're there for the show as well, and the people watching, is really great because moments flow, moments are natural and organic.
Yeah. And you can tell when you watch that everybody's on the same page, and it makes it a lot easier to watch and more enjoyable. So people definitely notice that.
We all just, you know, love Rocket League, right? I mean, that's a very important element. Nobody's brought in that doesn't like the game.
Yeah, for sure. Did you ever think that maybe casting wasn't for you, or was there ever a moment that you considered giving it up?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it a bit before too, where it's like with motivation things. Sometimes you lose motivation. Like that's just the inevitability to doing anything. You're going to lose motivation. You're going to have a day where your brain chemistry is just not working right, and you just don't have energy. You know, you're just like, oh, I suck. I'm the worst. This isn't good. I'll tell you, the most depressed I'd ever gotten in recent years was season one after the first month, because I looked at myself finally on camera. I've heard my voice before, and I'm fine with my voice. But it was watching myself on camera being like, holy crap, I'm ugly. Look at this, like this angle. I've never seen that really before. This is terrible. Oh my God. What is my camera presence? What am I doing? Like it was so disheartening to the point that I'm like, they're not going to bring me back. Why would anyone want me here in the first place? This is awful. So yeah, there have been moments. And even in recent times, it's like, I don't, you know, that 60 days thing. It's like, I don't know if I can keep this energy up. Can I do this for the next 20 years of my life? Can I always have this energy? Is this going to get to me mentally and just break me? So I definitely had those moments of like, is this for me? I want to be in esports, but in being in front of the camera, is that what I need? You know? And I think that questioning was important because it's what's led me to know, okay, you know what? I have to take time for myself. I have to, you know, it seems selfish, but I have to make sure that when I am mentally sound and I am on point, there's no question that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. There's no question at all. But it's when I start getting stressed, I start getting close to breakdown, that I start to question it and I start to say, okay, is this for me? So as long as I take those moments to regenerate my energy, make sure I make time for myself to do what I need to do in life and don't feel constricted, then it's no question that this is for me, because there's so many great elements, as I said, meeting people, traveling the world, all that stuff that is so amazing that I couldn't see myself not doing this anymore. I'd feel even more restricted and stressed out if I wasn't able to do it.
Yeah. What do you think about like the future of Rocket League, both for you and for kind of how the community is developing? Do you see yourself there for another 5 to 10 years, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, I sure hope so. I mean, I'd love to. Again, I at the core, I love Rocket League, right? So yeah. It's, for me, it's like, I'd love to keep doing this and keep growing as a person. You know, sorry, I don't know when this is going to be put up, but with the Renegade coming up for me, at least, you know, I get to, you know, work on a hosting role, which is cool because now just as a person, I get to try out new skills. I mean, I've already been doing it with HUD, right? But this is a live environment. It's a little different. The flow is going to change. So I get to test that. So it's really cool. If I can keep doing that personally, I'm just going to feel so invigorated if I get to keep trying new things over the next 5 years. But I would absolutely love to be in the scene. And I really think if done right, this could very well be the biggest esport. Now, of course, we can only give so much input. Everything comes down to Psionics. You know, from what I've seen internally, just they took over in 2019. So they had to get, you know, their feet on the ground, get things rolling. Or so 2018,
yeah.
And now into 2019, and I was talking to them too. I'm like, I'm really excited with where they're positioned, because, you know, it's like just seeing what they're doing and how excited they are too, because they're all fans too, right? Those guys are just fans. I'm super excited for 2019. To just be this year that Rocket League can blow up. We've had two incredible moments in 2018, through the Justin goal and now Cloud9 winning in North America first time since season one. We've had two incredible moments, and I keep thinking, how are we going to top this? How are we going to top this? Yeah. And now I have no doubt that we're going to just keep topping it. Like, Rocket League is, like, I know it's self-proclaimed, but it's very true. It's essentially one of the most, the most exciting esport out there. Like, it's, when you're in that crowd, it's insane. There's no way it can't keep growing, as long as that momentum keeps moving, right? You know, and I don't see any reason why StarX wouldn't want it to. Again, as those guys all being fans, I think they're positioned in a really good spot right now, and I'm excited that 2019 will blow up, and we're gonna keep that momentum going on for the next few years. Like, yeah. I'm stoked, and I'm ready, and that's why I keep working at it. I'm ready to be a part of it. That time, I mean, like, it's like the best game that's ever happened to me, right? So I want to be a part of it as long as I can.
Yeah, for sure. And I was at WSOE, and I got to interview the commissioner of the event, Christian Bishop. Nice. And he told me that he thinks the Rocket League will be the first Olympic esport, and that's awesome.
I don't think esports needs the Olympics. I think they need us. I feel like they're views are dropping, and they're trying to hit that next demographic, but
yeah,
we could very well do our own esports or esports Olympics. But you're right. I mean, like, without forcing it, what other game really has this level of just viewability, accessibility,
yeah,
and rated E for everyone-ness, you know? Like, I'd say, like, Smash Brothers is the closest next runner-up. But there is still violence, you know, you're still hitting each other.
Well, even then, like, the precision that it takes to be good at Smash is absolutely insane. And if you don't know much about it, like, if you're watching, yeah, it doesn't seem like they're doing that crazy of things. But, like, yeah, you know, there's, like, frame-by-frame things that they do to give themselves advantages. But in Rocket League, yeah, you don't have to know that much to be able to follow along and get excited when something good happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would also love to see CSGO. But I know just especially that's like the least PG one, you know, yeah, for the Olympics. You know, I remember with the E-League, they could never show the word terrorist on screen. So they always had to cut away whenever that word was about to come up.
The game's designed around that.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. I mean, I wonder if they can create like an Olympic version of it. You know, that's why you never heard the casters. They always come in T and CT. Right? Like, it was never said because there was a lot of restrictions on it. I mean, having that the shooting and stuff on TV alone was probably enough of a hard sell. So Rocket League is just that easy sell of, like, look, put the ball in the net. People know soccer.
Yeah.
You know, people that watch hockey are going to get this because this plays like hockey, right? Like, it makes sense. People already, we have the foundation of understanding. I think that's it. A lot of games are hard. Like, once you understand Overwatch, once you understand League of Legends, it gets a little easier to watch because you know some of the intricacies that are going on.
Yep.
But Rocket League, that foundation's already there. You don't have to explain to someone what to do with the ball. They just instinctively know it goes in the net, you know? So the foundation for a majority of the world is just there already.
Yeah, for sure. I had a couple friends that went with me to the last RLCS, and when Squishy did his first flip reset on day one where he got like a 50 in midair, I don't remember against
Yeah,
who.
Yeah, yeah.
My friends were hype, and they know nothing about how awesome of a moment that was that he pulled off a flip reset mid game, you know. So I think it's in a really good position.
How many styles on Turbo?
Yeah. Let's talk about something recent. Axeltas and Carpet both leaving the scene. What do you think about that? What's kind of your perspective on that?
I mean, if anybody's ever worried about that being like an implication of where the esports going as like a downfall, don't. I mean, Carpet had probably other opportunities. Carpet's always been a guy that wants to keep, he's like me, he wants to keep trying new things, right? For him, it was like, he loves Rocket League, but he also loves a lot of other games. So, you know, for him, I don't know specifics, but it, you know, if he got a, another deal somewhere else, you know, he's been working behind the scenes with NGE a lot. So he loves to keep doing other things. And if he can maybe find something to implement his engineering degree in, because he's got that, I'm sure he's going to take the opportunity. It's like Lethemir recently, you know, releasing his pinball thing. He's creating a lot of workshop maps. He's like, you know, he's found a way to do what he went to school for and to do it with video games. So, I think that's the same kind of concept for Carpet. You know, he's doing, you know, he's just doing, what he wants to do in it, but it's, yeah, he just probably has like a sick deal somewhere for something that he'll announce. I have no idea. So I couldn't say, just speculating, but for him, he's always been a guy that wants to keep learning and doing new things. So, it's saddening. I'm sad because, like, you know, casting with him is so fun. Like, he's just so dumb sometimes. Like, he'll just, he'll take the seriousness down. You know, it's like, okay, if this isn't a moment we need to be serious, let's just chill. Let's just have fun with this. So he's always a good guy to keep you at that level. But you know, I'm excited for whatever he's got coming up. And then with Axel Toss, I don't know what it was. You know, I don't hear the internal discussions, between Axel Toss and Psyonix. So whatever was with them, whether it was Axel Toss, you know, wanted other things, had a different vision, or Psyonix had this vision, whatever it is, you know, whoever Psyonix is going to bring on in place, I guarantee there's a reason. As I said, like, it's the esports team at Psyonix, they're all fans, and they just want the vision for this to be, as best it can. So, whatever they're planning, I'm sure there's an absolutely, valid reasoning for it. And whether it was their decision or Axel Toss's decision, again, I don't know, up to them.
Yeah.
But it, again, it is saddening. You know, you see, Axel Toss, super passionate about the game too, loves the game. You know, I guarantee he's still going to be watching. He'll still be at events. And, you know, maybe the plan on bringing him on for other things. You know, we saw him at WSOE doing the interview. And so I'm sure – and he has other stuff too. I mean, Axel Toss does a lot of the Forza stuff and, you know, like, Formula One racing esports stuff. So he's got a lot of other stuff going on too, which is – it was sick. I walked in – I dropped into a Forza broadcast one time. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know this place. I'm like, that sounds like Axel Toss. And the camera come on, it was him. I'm like, what the hell is he doing there? I didn't even know he was doing that stuff. But yeah, he's got a lot of stuff too. And of course, just StarCraft was always this thing too. So whatever he gets to, I hope I'm only the best. And I hope I get to see and hang out with him too. Because again, we're all just homies. You know, like, we're not just coworkers, we're friends. And I guarantee you, we're still going to be talking and chatting with him, seeing a lot of him. In the future.
Yeah. And what's a pretty brand new industry, they have pretty expansive portfolios, so I'm not too worried about where they end up. It just kind of felt like a sucker punch out of nowhere that two of, like, the original guys were gone. So
no, for sure it is. It's weird. I mean, you see, like, the subreddit just popping off, like, what's going on, this. I think the important thing to do in any of these situations, whether it's Axel Toss wanting to leave, whether it's Psyonix looking for someone else for another image or whatever, I don't know. Like, you always need to know that other side of the story. I mean, we see a lot of speculation going on. I think the important thing in any of these situations is always just to remember there could be something you don't think of that will explain everything and make everything make sense. So it's always, you know, it's good to speculate and voice your opinions on stuff, but I think it's also important to stay safe in the thought of, like, okay, there's a reason. There's got to be a reason, right? I think if everyone on, like, the subreddit keeps that in mind, things will. You even might start seeing the other side just by knowing there could be another side. It does suck. Like, I'm you know, it sucks. I'm not going to be able to work with those two, at least on this project. But I'm definitely not going to lose contact. I'm definitely going to keep up with them. I mean, like, if you guys want to support them, you really like them, make sure you go follow their socials. Yeah. I know Carpet doesn't do much, but I know Axel Toss streams from time to time. I'm sure he'll be doing a lot of that. So make sure, like, go support him in his chat. Like, he's an awesome dude. Go hit him up, like, for sure.
Yeah, definitely don't mourn them. Like, there's a lot that we can do to help them still.
Yeah. I think, and this is the thing, is like, I look, you know, maybe eventually I get to a point where, you know, my style doesn't fit something, or I get pulled into another project somewhere else and like, no, we don't like you for this. There's probably a lot of projects I didn't get because they saw me like, nah, he's not our kind.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that happens. Like, you know, not one person can do everything. I just, you know, there and is always going to be kind of a changing of a guard to a degree. Like you're going to have casters coming in and out based on opportunities and stuff. I just hope we don't lose anybody else.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think about doing a lightning round?
Bang. Let's get it.
Pop, pop. I wish I had a cool sound effect I could have played right there.
Wow. That's like a gong.
Well, we know if you ever do transition from Rocket League, that sound effects will not be
forte. Yeah, no, I've already kind of dug my grave on that one.
All right, first question. How will KDOP do with Renault Vitality?
How will KDOP do? I don't think KDOP is a solution. I think Renault has some other issues. It's almost like a Lethemir case in Panic. Ferry, when he gets angry, just ball chases and tries to do everything himself. And that used to work. It doesn't anymore. Scrub Killa has needed a little more time than we thought to implement himself into a 3v3. Incredible ones player, but threes is entirely different. I think we're going to see... I know Scrub and Fairy love playing together, but that might be because they love playing on offense together. But the issue is Adolf is an incredible striker, right? And you want him on offense. I feel like if you're going to do it right, Scrub's going to have to play that third role. Scrub's going to have to play that defensive role. We're not going to see him on offense as much, which sucks because then we lose those 1v1 skills. We'll see it more on defense, though. Shadowing is an important skill set that Scrub has. So hopefully they'll work him into that role, and KDOP can move up with Ferry. I just and that might work, too, especially having two Frenchmen up on offense. They can switch to French to communicate more effectively. I don't know if they'll want to do that. They'll probably want to keep Scrub in the comms, but that's a possibility. I just... I'm iffy on how they're going to fit Scrub in and how well he's going to take to that role. That's my biggest question
mark. It's easy to forget that last season Scrub Killer led the RLCS in saves just because of his skill set. Like, you think of him as like the crazy flicks and all the mechanic skill he has, but he was very consistent on defense last season.
Yeah, you forget that there's another aspect to playing ones, and it's not getting scored on.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that will eventually, that will be his role.
For sure. All right, next question. In five words or less, who wins the RLCS?
Who wins the RLCS? Oh. Okay, I got it. It will be Mr. Gibbs.
That's the ultimate dodge. That's the ultimate.
I don't know. I really. Let's go. Wait. Let's have a C9 repeat.
Okay. Who's your favorite hockey team?
Hockey team. Okay. People was like, well, it's got to be Toronto Maple Leafs, right? No, it's Detroit, and I'm a little sad because they're falling apart. People don't realize, too, but half the American teams are filled with half Canadians, so it's not really betraying.
Yeah.
The Oilers are my other team, but they're also having some difficulty.
Is there some animosity with the Toronto Maple Leafs, or?
I just don't like the – I know when I'm going to be disappointed. The thing is, I love Babcock, and now these over there, I'm like kind of a little more on board. The Leafs are like my third team.
Okay.
Right? So it's like the funny thing is like my third pick is like the best out of those three now, though.
Hey, ride or die, man. With fandom, ride or die for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like basketball?
Not really. I never really cared. I think the thing for me is it lacks the defender. There's too many goals that all of a sudden they don't become important anymore. Like you can almost skip the entirety of a game and watch the last few minutes and that's all that matters. So it's for me it's difficult. And it's the same thing with football. It's like American football. It's just like it's you don't really need to watch most of the game. And to me, I want to be on edge. You know, hockey's exciting. It's fast-paced. It's, again, it plays like Rocket League. And there are some really sick plays that can happen because a goal isn't as common. To me, a basket being scored every 2 seconds just isn't exciting. It kind of loses its value to me.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Do you prefer Tim Hortons or Starbucks?
I have never been to a Starbucks, and I never plan on it.
What? You're a Tim Hortons truther?
Well, between those two, so here's the thing. Tim Hortons is like, I got in poop, you know, sold to American company, then it was sold back, and now Burger King owns it. So it's just been broken along the way. But the ice caps, I will stand by it to my grave. They're amazing. I will always have a Timmy's ice cap. And I've gotten a lot of the American cashiers hooked on them too. When I'm here, and Timbits are always good. Donuts are pretty solid. A Canadian maple is my favorite. And their chicken, the spicy chicken sandwich is actually spicy, dude. Most fast food places, spicy food is not good. Their spicy chicken sandwich. But if I'm going for coffee though, I'm going to a local place. I got like four local coffee brew places a 5 minute walk for me, like in any direction. So like there is always a place for me to go for coffee besides Timmy's or Starbucks.
Okay. What kind of music do you like?
Oh, that's so basically everything, if it's good. I like music that is made because the artist wants to make it. I don't like music that is produced to make dollars. For instance, stadium country music.
Yeah.
There is good country music out there, you know, especially a lot of the classics, Cash and, you know, Hank Williams and all that. But it's like, and there is some good new country, but it's just, you don't hear it because it's not designed with a formula. A lot of this new music is designed with a formula to make money. These artists aren't making, you know, to quote Bo Burnham, they're not making honest music. And a lot of that goes with a lot of pop music. There is good pop music. Ellie Goulding is one of my favorite artists. I'll have to say though, straight up Linkin Park, my favorite band. I think that maybe is why I have the music taste I do, because Linkin Park does everything from EDM to rap to metal. They're all over the place. I love heavy metal. August Burns Red, another one of my top favorite bands, Star Set. But I also love classical music. You know, I was just listening to, Nouvelle Beyonce. I've been listening to a bunch of different, I can never say his name, Liszt. He's a classical pianist. You know, to heavy metal, to pop music, to rap. I love the Tech N9ne, Eminem, any technical rap. And I love a lot of prog rock lately as well. So again, I'm all over the place. EDM is good too, for certain moods. But as long as all music is made honestly, and it is made because the artist wants to make a piece of art, then I can't say it's bad. Maybe I won't enjoy it, but usually I would if I can detect that.
Okay. So are you a Bo Burnham fan, or did you just throw that out of the blue?
Oh my God, I am. Bo Burnham is one of the few comedians I can actually get behind. Bo Burnham is incredible. A lot of people don't realize what Bo does. Bo. So especially Make Happy. What is really good, but Make Happy, I think really for me was like his like masterpiece. His was, that was his, I don't know what you call it, piece de resistance, whatever it is. But like that is his pinnacle at the moment. Maybe he's going to top it, but what he did is the show is structured with layers. You know, every joke on a surface level can work just like, haha, that's funny.
Yeah.
But then there's also something that there's usually a metaphor in there for something else. And it, the whole show tells the story of his life and the things he went through and kind of the order he went through them. You know, there's always metaphor. One of the big things is at the end of Make Happy, you know, he talks about the burrito and putting too much into it. Sure, that's really funny, and he's playing satire on Kanye's speech, but there's a metaphor for what he's doing there. You know, he's talking about how, you know, the guy making his burrito is like the producers or family and people around him that should have told him, hey man, slow down, stop.
Yeah.
This isn't going to fit in your life. You need to understand that if you do this, you're going to overflow and you're not going to be able to control it. And that's what happened is you know, that he got into this thing that helped make him happy, but at the same time, it made him sad because he put too much of his life into it. And the whole show is a metaphor for that. And he does a really good job of describing depression through that whole thing. So I think Bo Burnham will be marked up there as one of the great when it comes to comedians, because of how he uses that form in a completely structured form. And it's like the show is to a T.
Yeah, like lights, everything.
And it's not gimmicked, It's there for a reason, to prove a point that as structured as he can make this show, he still can't control his emotions. I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Yeah. Neil Brennan just had a very, like, brutally honest stand-up routine that I really liked recently, too.
That's good. I love when artists use comedy to push just, yeah, this honesty, this pureness of being a human. Because it's a lot of people are like, no, just tell jokes. No, that's a great platform to get up and make something apparent.
Yeah, for sure. All right, who's your favorite caster to cast with?
If I don't say Lawler, he's going to divorce me. I don't know. It's really hard to pick a favorite, you know? Like I can tell you something that each of them do well. I've casted with almost every single one of them. You know, again, Carpet was great because I told you, he brings that bubbleness of like, you know, chill out, you know, I need to be too serious right now. Lawler, we just have an amazing rapport. We're just super good friends, right? So casting with him, I'm just chilling with a buddy casting. Like we laugh at each other, we poke fun at each other, we're just stupid about it. You know, when I was doing, I think I cast with Wave once, but that was like season 2 when Carpet's voice died.
Yeah,
but I can't remember too much. But you know, even just seeing the flow that the Wave Punk has. And his cadence is absolutely incredible. And then Achieves, again, another guy. Achieves is one of those guys that if you say something and he nods, you feel good about it. You're like, he knows what he's talking about. So when he acknowledges what you said, you're like, yeah. So you get those moments with him. We've had some good moments just chatting on a patio before talking to you. So we've got, we're pretty much on the same page with a lot of stuff. So it's really hard for me to just, you know, pick one. I mean, like, I if I had to say, like, you know, Lawler and I have probably the best rapport over anybody, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't want to cast with anyone else.
Yeah, don't worry, he dodged this question too.
Yeah, well, it's not like I'm dodging, it's just like straight up, that's an honest answer. It's like
I get that.
Like, everyone's got something that's you can learn from too.
Well, and right? Like, it's a really interesting kind of mix when you put two people that aren't usually there together, or you put James with somebody else, and you can totally mix everybody's chemistry and energy and talents and skills. So,
well, and that goes back to the whole thing of always wanting to learn. When I work with a new caster, I get to learn how they deal with certain situations. And for me, that's an extra little bit. It's smaller, but it's something I can learn. It's something I can then do to make myself better. So when I recognize the situation in the future, I can adjust to it quicker. Yeah. So it's casting with everyone else lets me learn. Which I love.
Okay, what are your thoughts on South America joining the RLCS?
Oh, it's amazing. I want the whole world in eventually. I mean, like, South America, I think they're going to get clapped, but like, I really am happy because, you know, now they can start getting in and getting that experience. Having South America, even ragtag team, show up at WSOE was great because now it's a little bit more experience they can bring back. You know, having them consistently, I think they had to have that foundation first and show that they were. That region's ready to put in everything, and they are. I think it's so good now to have, like, OCE just kind of broke everything they worked for, I think, in the past few seasons. They had teams that were continually getting better and getting more experience by coming to Worlds, and they broke that apart. And I think OCE is also going to get clapped this year.
Yeah.
Just because of that. That was so dangerous of them. Tainted Minds is their best bet now because that team now has a little bit of experience, and they still have that same chemistry on their team. South America doesn't have that experience yet, so I think they're gonna get they'll fight for sure, they'll get some goals, but I definitely think that they're gonna have trouble getting past an 0-2 situation or an 0-4 situation.
Yeah, the Drippe move was encouraging for Drippe, but when that happened, I just thought that it was OCE's chances were pretty well cooked.
Oh, it's the best OCE player gone now.
Yeah, for sure. Who's your favorite streamer to watch?
Oh, that's it. So I don't watch a lot of streams, but I would say Shroud is definitely up there. I love watching Shroud. Two reasons. One, he's just incredible. On Heads Up Daily, we had a weekly thing called Stream Snipers, where we just grab clips from the week and watch them and react to them. And every week there's at least one Shroud clip of him just doing something utterly dumb. Like, just you can't do that. Like, you have to be. Even Shroud said it sometimes. He's like, oh, I'm hacking, man. because he's like, he can't believe he did something, you know, like he's insane. Any kind of point and click, you give him a virtual gun, he's off. He's just chill vibes. Josh OG is another one. You want chill vibes, man? That is a place to be. He never puts his chat onto like slow mode or like subscribers only. He wants everyone to be in there to chat. And everyone's chill. It's always good vibes, you know? And another one would be Grim. Grims. He's great just because, well, first off, he says my name right when I subscribe to him. So does Shroud. They actually say LeafX instead of LieFX. So bonus points to them. But Grims was great too, just because watching the skill, and again, super chill. He does the same thing as Josh OG, just tries to keep vibes chill. Those are probably my best. You know, I'll watch friends too. You know, I'll watch my buddies like Lefui, Tesla to Panda, you know, some smaller people too. Oh, I got to give a shout out to one of this super small streamer, but oh my God, his energy is always positive. John G on, if this is a huge shout out right now, if you can go to, I'm fine, it's John_G_ like JON_GEE_TV. Go give that guy some love. He is always just having a blast, man, no matter what. I've never seen it not be low or not be high energy in there. It's that's a good one if you want a small streamer to support.
Okay, we'll definitely get that plug out. What question do you get most from fans?
What question do I get most from fans? That's tough because people ask a lot of risk. Okay, you know, I don't, not really fans, but like in game, because we have a tag that says RLCS analyst. The most common question I get in game, what's an RLCS analyst? And it's, I actually have to take my tag off sometimes. Or people are like, haha, anal. So that'd be the most common question for sure. But that's not from fans. From fans, it's probably who do you think's going to win? I mean, I guess we're going to be like straight up most common question. Who do you think's going to win? They'll ask me my opinions on you know, if it's at Worlds or whatever. Another common question is when's the RL Dojo coming back? I used to do a podcast on like mechanics and like mentalities, and I'd talk to pros and stuff. It was like 2-hour podcast. A lot of people ask for that to come back. I don't have the time. It's not.
Yeah. Okay. What is your most embarrassing moment? It might be the tongue thing, but you seem pretty proud of that. So what's your most embarrassing moment?
Oh, I have to. It's hard because that is a little bit, but like it's hard because at the same time, this was intentional cringe. On stage. So before I went on, we were going to interview a lot at season 5. And Lawler's like, yo, I said, do you want to ask a lot of anything? He's like, ask him why he's so cute. I said, I will. No, I did.
That's the cringiest clip in history.
It is. And it's out there. And it's on like cringe compilations and stuff. And it was on purpose though. So I'm not like ashamed of it because like I did it on purpose knowing that it wasn't going to be good. But everyone's got to have that moment, you know, like, and everyone remembers that moment now. So I'd say it's probably like the most embarrassing. It's hard for me to get embarrassed because like I don't get offended by anything. I don't like everything's lighthearted for me. So getting embarrassed is hard, but like I would say that's kind of one of those moments like I'm not gonna do that again.
Hey Leaf.
Yes.
Why are you so cute?
I got it from my mama. It's actually a lot of plastic surgery. It still didn't work.
It's very expensive, but you can tell on screen that it really accentuates your features. Okay, next question. What's the Canadian cliche you're most tired of?
That I'm most tired of? That we say oot. We don't say oot, man. Like, we do round up the sound. So, like, Americans say, they say it more like they're getting hurt. Like, when they say, so we say out, they say out. Uh-huh. Right, like it's like ow, I'm getting hurt. Out, we say out. So we actually pronounced the U in there, out, but we don't actually say oot. It's out. We don't say it a boot. We don't say it, it's about. Now, if you say like, the accent kind of comes out when you say out and about in a boat. then it kind of comes out. But yeah, we don't say oot. And people are always like, Oh, and A, the people use A wrong. A is used as a rhetorical device to open up an opinion, or sorry, to open up a statement as a poll of opinion. That is what A is used for. Like, you say, like, a lot's cute, eh? It's like, I'm saying a statement that, you know, is generally going to be perceived as true, but I'm allowing you now to give your input on it, right? It's not just thrown on at the end of any sentence. But for the most part, a lot of the other ones are real. Like, I was streaming the other day, and I realized I had a bottle of maple syrup on my desk. So, like,
it's a lot of other ones are absolutely true. Is everybody really nice?
For the most part, I mean, every place has got their dicks, you know? I think South Park did it best. It's like, what's his name? Like, that's Scott. He's a dick. It was like the one dick. But yeah, no, I mean, we could get really into this right now, why I think that the culture is different between America and Canada, but that's like a whole other thing. But I think the big thing is that people up here are more attuned to talking and being open with people. It's just the culture that you're raised in. You know, you see your parents talk to someone in public, you're more likely to talk to someone in public. No one's as closed in. So I think because of that, because you have more of those face-to-face interactions, you realize people are people, and it's harder to be mean towards someone that you're like, oh, that's a person, right? You know, yeah. The reason we honk and get mad at cars is because the human brain is actually only good at recognizing faces of other humans. You look at a bunch of arms of people, unless there are like distinguishing features like freckles or tattoos, you're not gonna be able to tell whose arm is arm because your face doesn't recognize that. It recognizes facial features. So someone's in a car, you're no longer looking at that. You're no longer looking at person. Your brain actually treats as an object, and an object doesn't have feelings. So you can get angry at it. So I think once you're with someone and you talk to them, you're more open in public, and you know that is a thing that can happen. Someone might talk to you. You start to treat people more as like people. So it's harder to be impolite.
That's true. That's a really interesting point. It's an interesting perspective, especially given that the American perspective is almost like standoffish at all times.
Mm-hmm. I could get into it. I might trigger some people, but speaking of triggers, that's what it's about. I think a lot of the issue is, you know, when you go to when I go to the States, at least, it's like, you know, if I piss someone off in traffic, or, you know, I've had American friends had guns pulled on them because someone gets road rage, and, you know, because of the stricter gun controls, you don't really have that issue. And I think that's really, personally, my outside perspective is what it is. I think a lot of people don't want to get into a standoff with someone because there could be in the back of their mind that chance of harm. Up here, if I piss someone off at the bar, you know, that's, I don't care. Like, I'm not worried about my safety at that point. I might get in a fight, whatever, but that's the end of it, right? You know, the worst I think I've seen is some guy in a YouTube clip in Toronto pull out a slingshot on someone in road rage. But that's it, right?
He had that on hand. He was ready.
Yeah. The guy just seemed crazy in the first place. But, you know, it's just you don't have that lingering thought of like, oh, I could be hurt right now. So I think it's easier to get your thoughts out there and to say them to people so you don't feel afraid to talk to people. I think that's one of the core things, personally. I just think that's one of the core things. I have no issues with guns. I just think it's the fact that, you know, anybody could get one and have one and you don't know.
Yeah, for sure. One last question. I love to ask this question at the end. I think it's like a good wrap up of everything we talked about. If I came to you when you were 15 and I told you that your career was going to pan out this way, what do you think you would have told me?
I'd be like, what's esports? if you told me that, I don't know. I'd be like, well, first I'd ask, like, how do you know? And I'd try to get the science behind it. Be like, do you have a time travel machine? Can I get in it? I it'd be hard to believe. I mean, like, I would know that I like games, but I didn't like them that much. Like, I didn't like it to the point that I was actively involved. I wasn't making YouTube videos then. I wasn't running tournaments at that point. You know, for me, it's like I worked, or I was still in school, and I'm like, still in high school at that point, playing games. I would have thought over anything, given how good I was at Mario Kart, that I'd be a professional player. And that still is a dream of mine. I'd love to be a professional player at anything. I've been really good at a few, like top at a few games, but those studios keep getting shut down. That's just my luck. No, I think it'd be hard to believe because I was quiet back then. Oh, geez. I didn't break out of my shell until I was about 18. So it would have been hard to believe, but I would have been excited.